Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And before we get into this episode brought to you by the Sports History Network, I wanted to tell you about another book giveaway that we have on the website. Our friend of the network, Timothy J. Brown, is giving away 5 copies of his latest book. This book is titled Hut Hut Hike, A History of Football Terminology. This book explores the history of football terminology by examining when and why more than 400 familiar words and expressions entered the game. By linking the game's evolution to changes in its language, readers learn the origins of first string, basic fundamentals, X's and O's, long snapper, and hundreds more of terms used in every football conversation or broadcast. Organized in easy-to-read, bite-sized chunks and filled with period images and illustrations, Hut Hut Hike tells football's history one word at a time. Now, to sign up for a chance to win your copy of the book, head to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends, and welcome to the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. This is Darren Hayes, your host, and in this episode, we'll be recapping all the events, anniversaries, and birthdays associated with the game of American football for the day of September 7th. The history of this football day starts in 1979, with ESPN has its very first day of broadcasting. The Entertainment and Sports Programming Network started in a rented office space in Plainville, Connecticut, according to the ESPN website. The company is now owned by the American Broadcasting Company, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, with an 80% share, and the other 20% is owned by Hearst. The ESPN complex is located in Bristol, Connecticut now, with a sprawling 1.2 million square foot campus encompassing 18 different buildings. ESPN Incorporated now owns the rights to over 50 different business entities. Its connection to football is very deep, and it's the home of NFL's Monday Night Football, numerous college games, Thursday through Saturday during the season, and many talk shows centered on the sport of football. Let's jump the time loop a couple years and head to Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Browns quarterback Brian Sipes sets a team record with 57 passing attempts in one game as the Browns fall at home to the San Diego Chargers 44-14. Then 5 years after that, 1986, the Cleveland Browns also make history on this day when they are the first team in NFL history to formally have a play reviewed by officials with video instant replay as they played at Soldier Field against the Chicago Bears. On the third play of the game, the defending Super Bowl champion Bears had an errant snap go into their own end zone that Cleveland safety Al Gross jumped on. There was indecision from the on-field officiating crew, but after review, the Browns were awarded the score. The Bears came back, though, and won the Week 1 game 41-31. Then, that same day, in 1986, Miami Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino becomes the fastest person to throw 100 touchdowns in the NFL. Marino tossed 3 scores on a day, 2 of them to Mark Clayton. Unfortunately for Miami, that was not enough, as the home team San Diego Chargers had some scores of their own in a 50-28 drubbing of the Dolphins. Then we go to 1991 in the college ranks. BYU quarterback Ty Detmer goes past the NCAA career record of 11,606 yards on this day. Detmer won the Heisman Trophy after the 1990 season and showed the UCLA Bruins that day that his game was still as sharp as it was the year before. In this exciting early season matchup, the Bruins held on to win the game at home 27-23, but not before Ty Detmer surpasses the throwing milestone. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, to not only see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskin Dispatch is in the social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Pigskin Dispatch is also happy to be associated with the Sports History Network, the sports headquarters of yesteryear, found at sportshistorynetwork.com. We're going to switch gears now and go to our segment where we celebrate the anniversaries of birth of our legends and Hall of Famers. And we're going to go right to it for September 7th, 1884, Robert Bob Tiny Maxwell, the former guard that played for the University of Chicago and Swarthmore College, a private liberal arts school in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. Legendary University of Chicago coach Alonzo Stagg recruited Bob Maxwell because of his size, and he was not as tiny as his nickname would receive later in life indicates. Bob Maxwell was 240 pounds in 1902, and in that era, the average lineman weighed less than 200 pounds. Maxwell played for Stagg and the Maroons for 1902 and the 1903 seasons and set records at the college in track and field's hammer throw. Bob was accepted into Swarthmore College in 1904, and that is when it is believed the moniker Tiny was adopted by his teammates as a nickname for him. The 1905 game against Penn brought Maxwell to the forefront as a face of football. During the contest, Penn had put three blockers on Maxwell to nullify his influence in the game. This triple team line play was a slugfest from start to finish, and Tiny Maxwell took the brunt of it. President Theodore Roosevelt was presented a photo of Bob's bruised, bloodied, and swollen face after the game was over as a representation of how brutal the game had become. Roosevelt had become so enraged about the appearance of Tiny's photo and the fact that 18 young men had died that season from football injuries that he threatened to abolish the game if the powers in college football did not set out to meet with him to improve safety of players. As a result, those changes did come in 1906, and they changed football forever. The rule revisions were many, but the big hitters were the adoption of the legal forward pass, but with a severe penalty for incompletions, and the line to gain being moved from 5 to 10 yards as it is today. And one of the people we have is Tiny Maxwell, who sacrificed his body because of the game he loved, and it made the game better with the help of the president. Our next legend is Matt Kerr, who was born on September 7th, 1902. He was a former Southern California halfback that became enshrined in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1972 ceremonies. Kerr was also a U.S. Olympian. He took fifth place in the 1924 Olympic pentathlon competition in Paris. After returning home, he played for USC for three seasons and had set a school record with 19 touchdowns in the 1925 season. That Trojan record lasted for 43 seasons before O.J. Simpson eclipsed the touchdown mark in 1968. Matt had become an All-American for his fine play in the 1926 season. After school, his football career went to the professional ranks with a one-year stint at the NFL's Frankfurt Yellow Jackets. He may have stopped playing after that one NFL season, but he stayed in the game he loved so much, only this time in the coaching ranks, where he had become the head coach of Weed High School in Weed, California, and stayed there for 28 years, winning 17 conference championships in that span. Now we come to a big one. September 7th, 1908, Paul Brown, the legendary first head coach of the Cleveland Browns, is born. He started coaching the Browns way back in 1946 when they had their inaugural season in the All-America Football Conference. That was Brown's first professional coaching job, as his prior experience in coaching came at the high school level and also with some military teams. Paul Brown was an innovator and made coaching what it is today. The concepts of hiring a full-time, all-year-round coaching staff, as well as hiring scouts to go over the college talent, are a couple of the items that Brown came up with. He also started the idea of film study of his players and had his players study in classroom settings as well as study the game film themselves. He sent plays into the huddle by shuffling guards in and out, and also was the first to try a radio transmitter in the quarterback's helmets to call plays. His career coaching record in the AAFC and NFL was a whopping 167 wins, 53 losses, and 8 ties, and he had all but one losing season in 17 years at the helm of the Browns. Paul Brown's teams won 4 AAFC titles and 3 NFL championships. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined this great innovator in the class of 1967. Right after that, he was accepted into the Hall. The AFL authorized Brown to start a team in Cincinnati, and he called them the Bengals, in homage to other teams that had played in the city previously. Brown was not only the Bengals' owner and GM, but he was also their head coach. To this day, the Brown family still owns the Bengals in the NFL. Our last legendary birth belongs to Burt Jones, a quarterback from LSU. He was born on September 7th, 1951, and played professionally for the Baltimore Colts in the NFL. Jones became a legend at LSU when in a 1972 game against Ole Miss, he led the Tigers for a thrilling one-point victory in the final seconds. The play is still filled with controversy this day, as many, mainly on the Ole Miss side, believe that Jones and the Tigers were given an extra 4 seconds due to an alleged clock malfunction on a previous play. With 4 seconds on the field's timepiece, Jones hit a streaking Brad Davis in the end zone for an LSU touchdown that put them over the Ole Miss Rebels 17-16. In the 17 games that Burt Jones started in college, he passed for 3,225 yards and 28 touchdowns, which was a career record at the time for LSU. The College Football Hall of Fame enshrined Jones in 2016. As a Colt, Jones succeeded Johnny Unitas as the Baltimore starter and led the Colts to 3 AFC East titles. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.